The following is a telephone conversation made with one of the ex-members of the succeeding group to the MJ-12, the well-known MJ-12 group, which took place on 27th of 6, 1992. Here the source is providing me with some interesting information. Part of this tape has been omitted only due to the reason that the information given is of private nature. However, the parts which have been omitted do not take away the main text of this conversation.
I would like to make a comment here about the information that this ex-member of the MJ-12 group is passing on to me. The information that he passes on with regards to the MJ-12 group once more underlines what I was told by an elder member of the MJ-12 group, better known as Dr. Eric Arthur Walker, to me. Bearing in mind that these two people served in that particular group in different era, and these two are coming from a totally different generation age-wise, one can clearly see the independence of the activities of the MJ-12 group. Dr. Arthur Walker 3 years ago told me that MJ-12, or that particular group, does not work for the government, it works with the government. They decide what to give, when to give, and to whom to give. Years later, however, 3 years later, being precise, this source virtually gives the same indication with regards to the independence of this particular group. I should also add here that I was the only person who managed to break the wall of silence with regards to Dr. Eric Arthur Walker, despite repeated tries and efforts made by several researchers. Dr. Walker had not had any conversations and had not passed any information to them. I managed to obtain some interesting information from Dr. Walker, which became subsequently published in one of the MUFON publications, a book which was put out jointly by Mr. Scott Crane and Sir Grant Cameron, MJ-12, the government and the UFO, I presume. I have not yet made the entire conversation which are tape recorded with Dr. Walker public. I would do so in near future.
Yeah, but I myself do not have the transcripts, the published transcripts from the Treat Center yet. So when they are published, I can have them sent.
That is marvelous. Now, the other thing I would like to ask you: you did do some work for DIA.
No, I worked for DIA in the military, but I don't do any work for them now.
But were you a captain?
I was a captain and a major, yes.
In the military or in the Air Force, in which component?
In the Army.
In the IC. And now then, when you did some work for the DIA, were you aware about this UFO working committee at the time?
No, there wasn't such a thing. There were groups of people in intelligence that were very curious about what was going on, but there's no formal sanction to do that kind of thing, because DIA is strictly defense. So unless there was a national security threat, there could be no funding for anybody to do something like that. There were all these, if you walked into somebody's office, they always had files, but those were avocations. They were not formal pursuits. It was simply, yeah. Now the CIA has a little bit more freedom to do those kinds of things. But DIA, remember, is strictly defense.
Of course. Which component?
Unless,
please go ahead.
Unless UFOs or those kinds of things are recognized as a national security threat, then there's no charter whatsoever at the national level to pursue those kinds of things, and there's no funding either.
In DIA, the guys who worked, are you familiar with these names that I would like to mention to you? John Alexander?
Yes, he's one of the directors from my company. I've known him many years.
Harold Putoff?
Harold Putoff, also for many years. He's good friends.
Kit Green?
Kit Green, I've known when I worked the biological warfare problem. I worked it with Kit Green.
And he was involved in the biological warfare problem in that time?
See, he was in the CIA. He was one of the people that was tasked, one of the many people that was tasked with attempting to understand what foreign countries were doing in these arenas. And I did that for the Army.
Of course.
That's where I knew Kit.
I see.
Kit Green was connected with Ingo Swann, who was my teacher for remote viewing.
Of course. But now, did he have any interest also in UFOs, Kit Green?
Oh, yes, he still does.
I see. One particular person I would like to ask you is Jack Verona.
Jack Verona, I worked for Jack also in DIA. Jack was the head of the scientific
intelligence
directorate. And I worked for him a couple of years.
Did he have any interest? Did he have any interest?
I worked with him many years before that.
I see. Did he have any interest in UFOs?
He didn't express a lot of interest. I think that he did certainly have it, but he didn't pursue it because he was afraid of the connection, the ostracism that he would suffer. He's sort of a political animal. And so he didn't pursue that kind of idea openly.
What is his position now?
I don't know. He and I did not get along well at all, and I have no desire to track him down.
I mean, is he still in DIA?
No, absolutely not.
Where was the last time about his whereabouts? I would like to contact him. That's why I'm asking this question.
I hear about him occasionally, but I have no desire to contact him. We do not get along at all, and so I don't track him down.
Why didn't you get? What was the reason that you two didn't get along with him? After all, he signed his merit award for you, or the certificate.
But that means nothing. That's a pro forma type of thing, saying thank you for your work. Professionally, that was one thing, but there were other reasons. There were other very good reasons why I was still alone.
How much of the U.S. government has gone forward in UFOs, I would say, based on your interactions?
They've stopped. There's nothing they can do. They've reached the end of the line in terms of new information.
What is their conclusions, findings, in a sense?
The key conclusion is that it is not a national security threat, and therefore that they can wash their hands of the problem and turn it over to private the private sector to pursue. So the government attempts to maintain contact with the private sector to see what they're coming up with. The government isn't doing anything. Now is the government aware of certain things that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are, but those remain anomalies to everyone in charge.
Which component in CIA is mainly in charge or was in charge, where you are aware or if you are aware?
Of what?
About this phenomena.
Anything that's unusual that might be construed as a threat would be taken care of by the Deputy Director for Intelligence, DDI.
DDI, see. And he's... Now, what is the function of its STD component in CIA? What is their function?
I don't know. I've never heard of STD.
Ron Pandolfi, where does he work?
Ron works at DDI.
I see. Now, what do you think about him? Is he a knowledgeable person?
Oh, yes, he's knowledgeable.
He doesn't seem to have a very high opinion of you.
No, he likes our work, but he doesn't want to become publicly associated with the idea that remote viewing works. They're very, very jealous of my company. we're considered as national security assets. They would like to own us, but they can't. So there's a lot of jealousy.
This remote viewing, how far we've gone? How much progress made so far? Is it practical? Is it usable? Could be deployed? Could be used? Utilized?
I make a living out of it.
Yes, I know, but we're talking about in military sense.
No, right now as we speak, I'm working with the FBI to find a missing, a kidnapped corporate executive, and we have found him, and we're walking the FBI into him. We've solved a number of different, very, very difficult cases using remote viewing.
One tricky question I would like to ask you: is there any connection between the RV and with regards to the gifts given with some kind of ET? When I say ET, it doesn't necessarily mean from other sort of galaxies or whatever. It might mean from other dimensions, or you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I understand. I don't know. It seems to be an innate ability that everybody has. It just has to be trained, to, like language, to be used. It doesn't seem to... Now, our successes have seemed to be connected with some intangible ideas like that, but I'm speculating. No, it seems to be across the board. Anybody who has the discipline to learn it, and it's very difficult to learn.
I see what you mean. What is Gordon Norvell's role in all this?
Gordon whom?
Norvell.
I've never heard that name.
He's a partner with Harold Puthoff, I understand, and Harold Puthoff has put the final touches on his proportion equations. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yes, very much. Uh-huh, but I don't know the other individual.
In New Orleans, they have a company, apparently, and they intend to actually make this, give life to it, in inverted commas.
Yes, that's Jupiter Technologies, I think they call it, down in Austin. Jupiter Technologies. Jupiter Engineering, I'm sorry, Jupiter Engineering.
I see. About the Uri Geller's work, you're familiar with that, in SRI?
Somewhat. He's a psychokinesis, not remote viewing. For instance, the Soviet Union lost a spacecraft around Mars, the Phoebus 2 probe, and they were very desperate as to find out what happened. They went to Uri Geller. He could not help them. We solved the problem for them, my company.
Which one was it? Which one's missing? Which one was it? One of the Phobos?
Yes, it was the Phoebus 2, and what we did for the Soviet Union was to tell them exactly what went wrong.
What went wrong? Can you give me on that?
It was disabled unintentionally by two devices, different devices that put out a very powerful beam, an interrogation beam. It gets much more technical than that.
Yes, I know, but where were these devices located or situated?
One was in orbit around Mars, the other rose up from the planet's surface.
Are you talking that there's another type of civilization which actually tried to...
I certainly am. I certainly am. Uh-huh. We've been monitoring it for 10 years.
You've been monitoring. Is there any other information on that which would sort of verify, validate? Very grateful. Now, do you have any questions that you would like to ask from me?
No. Are you just a private individual who is interested?
That's right. I've been investigating this area for 30 years, and I belong to a particular group, which are very seldom you ever hear from them. Another question I would like to ask you. Are you aware, or have you heard, I'm sure that you might have heard, that your government has in her possession nuts and bolts of this technology?
It has nuts and bolts of a technology that is not alien. What it has is a prototype device that is to be tested in a number of years. That prototype device, instead of moving out into space, moves backward in time, crashes in the desert in 1950, and is construed as alien technology.
What is the name of the project that they worked on that?
The name of the project?
Mm-hmm.
That will be tested?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. But I think that it's one of, I can't get into names and projects. I know about the project. It is not intended to move in time, but it's going to. That is what was picked up in the desert. They have nothing alien in their possession.
Could you tell me a couple of names of the guys who worked or work on this project, please?
I can't yet. Prototype propulsion devices, I believe, will be one of... Tested, we'll move back into time.
What do they call it?
I'm not sure what they call it. I don't know that.
I'm sorry about it.
Oh, quite all right.
Nathan, Lazar's case that you're familiar, is Lazar telling the truth? Was did he have access to that particular device, you think?
No, he didn't.
Is he lying, you think?
I think that about 80% of his 80% of what he's saying is showmanship.
Oh, I see. So there's no truth in a sense in it. About this Grays, which keep popping up. What are your views on them?
They are androids. They're created biological robots, and they do a lot of work in a number of places.
By who? Who's created them?
There are 12 different, approximately 12 different races that are flying back and forth around here doing certain things. But I talk about this in my briefing. It's, you know, 10 years of data. It would be very difficult for me.
Is there something that you would be faxing to me? Is there something in it?
Oh, there's, I mean, there's something, I think there's something in there about that.
Are they man-made? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, they're man-made, but not by us, by other humans.
What do you mean by that?
By other humanoid species.
From any particular galaxy, any particular system, or another dimension?
Well, we can't tell where they're coming from. We can follow their vehicles back in general directions, but we're more interested in the transportation, the physics, the principles behind their movement than we are. You see, aerospace firms have supported me, and the aerospace firms are only interested in those wonderful anti-gravity devices. They're not interested in where these people come from.
I see what you mean. What is the substance that their vehicles are made of?
That's proprietary to my clients.
But is there anything we can... I don't want anything... I realize that. But what I'm asking is in the interest of my own, you know, curiosity and science mainly, I'm not the kind of person who publishes anything at all. Rest assured on that.
I understand. The vehicles are... I really can't go in. It's very, very technical. I'd have to walk you through a number of different things that would take a very long time to do that.
Is there anything that you can give me on that?
On the vehicle structures?
Mm-hmm.
There are a whole bunch of types of vehicles. Many of them are not piloted. They're in essence remotely piloted vehicles. Some of them, even the idea of vehicle is a misnomer. They're bubbles that move through certain spaces. It's a very, very technical field. We've spent a lot of years on this.
What are the elements, the constructing elements? I mean, from chemistry point of view. I mean, are they carbon-based? Are they magnesium? This is what I would like to learn.
What we do for the clients is we go back to the point of origin of the vehicle. We pull out, we actually get into the fabrication process. If we need to, we move backward in time at the place of construction in order to reestablish principles which may be unfathomable to the client at this juncture and to our own technical analysis team. All that information is proprietary to our clients. Do for the government is free. We do it gratis, and those are only under emergency conditions.
I see what you mean. Are there any of these entities dead or captured or whatever that we hear?
No, none. Oh, you mean the robots?
Yes.
There are no living ones. The biological robots?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm not sure. We've never remote viewed that, so I don't know.
I see. It's quite... Belgian case, what is your view on that? Are we suggesting indirectly that this interaction is an interaction of the same type of robotic entities or this humanoids?
No, the robots, again, are simply to do work. They're workers. They're assigned jobs, unloading, loading, performing certain experiments, those kinds of things. They're nothing but workers. They make no decisions other than very localized decisions on what to do.
I see. Now, from what you're saying, is there any psychotronic weaponry involved in the manifestation of this crop circles?
Yes. There is brainwave entrainment. The Roswell incident was almost entirely brainwave entrainment. I talk about that in the interview.
I see. And also, are we suggesting that this technology is also within the human reach?
Yes, it is.
Are they experimenting them currently?
It's I think in some circles there might be some money to do that kind of thing. But again, I talk about this in the interview.
Why have they kept this whole issue so much under the wrap so long?
Well, let's see. There's two separate reasons, really. One is if you have something that's flying, a box in the sky, for instance, it's very, very capable of looking down and seeing many things, and it captures a picture of an anomalous object. You can't give that picture to anyone because you can discern
the technology that you are
behind the box, and also what the box was looking at. So that's one reason. The other reason is out of hell. But let's face it, when you take a Skunk Works, one of my directors is a former Skunk Works leader. If you take a Lockheed Skunk Works and you throw together some of the brightest young engineers and scientists alive, the technology that they produce is going to be 30 years ahead of anything else. It's only going to be limited by a existing technology base.
Mm-hmm.
So, if for all intents and purposes, whatever flies out of that building is going to look like it's alien. And it's perfectly acceptable to the military to have you think that that's an alien vehicle.
I see. Now, one last question. John von Neumann knew about them, didn't he? That they are reproducible.
I don't know. Other than his, I don't know whether or not he did.
Are you familiar with Eric Arthur Walker?
Could you say the name again, please?
Dr. Eric Arthur Walker.
No.
He was the chairman of IDA. He has given me some unique information at the time when he was involved with Van Bush.
Uh-huh.
Which is very much in line with what you're saying to me.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this information has never been disclosed. It stays with me.
Uh-huh.
You see, that is why, you know, I'm glad to see that there is some collaboration in concurrence, I would say, in what you're saying with what I'm told by Eric.
Well, remote viewing is direct knowledge. There's no analysis. There's no imagination. Once we lock on, once we decide what we want to do, the target, the topic, we're there. We can extract as much information as we want and can process. So it's just a matter of doing the work. And it is hard work, but since we've spent so much time on observing and monitoring the activities in this area for 10 years, we have a lot of data.
Mutilations. I'm on mutilations. Is it their job also?
A device pops into the atmosphere, there are high ground currents, and so that's a simple accident. But there is another type that seems to be, and that some of the parts seem to be removed to make milk. To take and take the parts that make milk from the animal and put them somewhere. I don't want to go into details about that yet. Next year I will. We need to do more work on that, on what's going on. We think we have an understanding of why, but we just have to do more work.
Why do they do that? Go ahead, please.
It would be premature to go into the reasons that we think. We're only 80% sure about what's going on, and we don't like to go public unless we have 100% of the information. We can't afford to make mistakes in my business.
Of course. Now, why do they do genetic experimentation with human species?
We're not prepared to sell to public yet.
Are they preparing a super race or a hybrid race?
Yes, it deals with a hybrid race, yes.
Now, where do they station this hybrid race?
I'm sorry?
Where do they keep the hybrid race?
The hybrids are kept in underground areas.
On Earth?
On Earth and on one other planet, Mars.
So the work that the report that I wrote to the chairman of the Science Technology of the Congress was accurate. My assertions and assumptions were accurate.
I don't know any of your work, Dr. Victorian. This is the first time I've ever talked with you, or I've never seen anything that you've written.
Okay, the calculation that we did, also the calculation that we did on Mars phase, or whatever there is, not what Hargrant has done, which is very, very, very sort of elementary and provisional. Our work manifest...
Hold on. It's very sad because we could have helped him so much. And the man, he's a megalomaniac. He wants to believe that Mars is his. Don't touch it. That kind of thing.
Well, that is just couldn't be true. It couldn't be acceptable, admissible, or practicable, for that matter. We derived figures and numbers which were very much advanced. I would say 20 years ahead of what has been derived, which showed the speed of light in a vacuum, speed of light, in atmospheric condition, based on the calculation that we did on the monuments in Cydonia. And all he had achieved was to get only E at the base of the figure for logarithm and the pi figure, which is nothing.
Yes, I have seen that.
And that is nothing in comparison to what we've achieved on that, in that area.
I'll tell you now, Dr. Pretorian, I have abandoned all of our other UFO research, and we have a lot, because Mars is so significant. We're concentrating all of our work on the implications behind the Martian connection. It's extremely important to the future of man.
Is U.S. government aware of this?
No, I believe that they are aware that there may be what the new buzzword is, non-fractal images, and they're interested to a certain extent. But that's all. I just don't think we have the kind of visionary leadership that understands the implications of what's up there and the things about it. There's a whole lot more about Mars than meets the eye. I don't want to go into it right now, but I will in several months.
So they do know about it.
Yeah, well, they do, but they're not. But I don't think they understand the implications.
Well, I accept that. I accept that.
Yeah.
And they've known it for at least 20 years. At least.
Uh-huh. Perhaps, but I think they may have been helped by the Soviet Union.
Well, the Soviets were very much advanced in landing, satellites or whatever on the solar system planets. We know that, an arm and a leg they had from the U.S., no question about it. So it is now accepted that we do have interactions. So what is the purpose of SETI in all this then?
Oh, you mean Stephen Greer's?
Frank Drake?
It's just to keep people employed. It's just to spend the money and to keep jobs. That's all. Once you start something that big, it's hard to shut it down. So it really doesn't have any purpose other than to try to get new money to keep it alive longer.
Do you think I would be out of the line if I mention in a context of paranoia, as a naive person, putting myself in those shoes, that perhaps it's a cover-up? It's a speculation on my part.
I've heard suggestions that Dr. Teller and others, people whom I worked with before, are trying to create the impression that we're being threatened from the stars and all of that, and that they're trying to build a case to turn weapons skyward for these kinds of reasons, those kinds of things. I don't know if that's true or not.
The reason that I'm saying this is that there was a particular case, Frank Drake has the file, he wouldn't release it to me, but I got fractions of it from other sources, which were some signals at a particular station which was off the air for 20 years, and suddenly the signals were received, very coherent. Photographs were taken, in fact.
Uh-huh.
Which again suggests what you said, that it is feasible to go back in time, sort of speaking.
Dr. Pretorian, these vehicles are moving backward and forward in time.
I see. Well, what I was trying to say, perhaps, what Drake has is what is man-made, in the sense that they've been experimenting. I don't know. I'm speculating. I'm in the dark there.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. There's all kinds of those strange and wonderful experiments that go on, but in the end, they have to be justified economically. It's very difficult to do that these days when there isn't any big enemy.
Is there a group known as MJ-12 that you're aware of?
I was a member of a group that was construed to be the successors of the so-called MJ-12. That group chased its tail. It was made up of very intelligent scientists and intelligence people who met privately far from the madding crowd, aperiodically to discuss these things, and nothing got done. Absolutely nothing got done. They were privy to no new knowledge. Anything that was new in terms of discoveries, they kept to themselves. So I said, hey, I'm gone, and I left that group.
I see.
Now I provide them with new information.
Oh,
they were chasing the tail.
The membership of the MJ-12 is the same as being made public, the old one?
No, the membership is... Most people don't know who's on that. It's not called MJ-12 anyway. The original MJ-12 is gone.
Well, that's what I meant, the original one. The original one, the constituents were the same names as it's been made public, or they're different people?
I think they're different people. Some of the names were the same, but I think they were different people. At any rate, it's defunct.
I know. Were there more than 12, or there were 12, actually, in number?
No, it was just a nominal term. It was
RC, yes, of course.
12 were there the first day or second day. They were called MJ-12. But it was made, anybody was invited who could keep their mouth shut and wouldn't make it. The key was embarrassment. Officials are very, very, they do not want to be publicly associated with this kind of thing because fear of embarrassment.
Of course. Now, what was the name of the new group that you left them?
It was actually, I can't mention the name because it was for the same it was a disguised name.
Could you please?
No, I say I can't. It was not, because I'm, you know, we made certain promises to each other.
Of course.
Yeah, I can't do that. It was just another one of those fancy names that could fit in well and hide, so the people could talk about it over the phone.
Did it have connection with your government?
There were, most of the people on it were either government contractors or government, yes. But they met as an avocation.
Of course, I understand that. That is exactly what I'm told again by that individual that I mentioned his name previously to you. Yes, that is correct. And he said the same thing, that the name is not Nolan. He said that if and when I'm invited into that group, he would know about it. That's what I was told. You know, that goes back 2-3 years now. And this situation still is ongoing? This group is still there, you think? Or they?
Oh, yeah, it's still around, but it's mostly made up of, you know, the leaders of the people in the defense industry and who really want to build these type of machines, those kinds of things. That's mostly what they're interested in, the technologies. They're not interested in where these visitors come from, what their agendas are, those kinds of things. They're interested in technology, technology, technology.
I can understand that. That is
good. Dr. Victoria, I need to keep my line up.
I understand.
I'm working with the FBI on a case.
I understand.
I should be able to do it in about an hour, if that's acceptable.
No problem, sir.
The conversation, as I mentioned before, has been omitted because it revolves around personal exchanges of opinion on personal matters. I hope that this information would be of help to the researchers. Thank you.